My brothers and sisters, to stand at this pulpit and feel the radiating spirit of those who have gone before over the past 108 years since the first conference was held in this building, and to feel the testimonies which have gone this day, there's no sweeter man to be next to and to sit than Adney Y. Komatsu. He is a man of God, simple and humble, who I hope to be able to share the rest of my life with in the service of the Lord. There is great spirit that comes from the choir that make it possible for me to discuss a subject which is close to my heart. Spend a few thoughtful moments with me, if you would, discussing the phrase, "We can't do it alone." Many of us have varying degrees of testimonies. We've all been given the Spirit of Christ, which was given to us at birth. It was a gift. We all have a testimony, which we have developed ourselves throughout our lives. And the Holy Ghost has helped us to obtain it. We may know that God lives. We may know that Jesus is the Christ. We may know that he gave his life for our redemption, that he is resurrected, that we all might live, and that he is alive today. We may know that Joseph Smith has restored the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in the last dispensation of the fullness of times. Yes, we live in that choice period, which is the last dispensation before the second coming of Jesus Christ. We live in the fullness of times, a time when the scriptures that have been revealed to us are virtually all the scriptures available to mankind that has lived on the earth. We may know that Spencer W. Kimball is a prophet of God who has all the keys of the priesthood vested in him to lead this church in revelation in these latter days. Yet, my brothers and sisters, with all this knowledge, why is it that some of us fail to gain the very critical point that we did not come to this life to live it alone? You can't hide your actions from self and from others. Polonius' advice to his son Laertes, "This above all to thine own self be true, and it must follow as the night the day, that thou canst be false to any man." This is valid, but must be qualified and expanded upon to include the concern for how to be true to yourself and your fellow men. The isolated self shut off from the light of Christ makes us become fallible, open to delusion. The balance and perspective which comes from caring about others and allowing ourselves to care form the essence of life itself. We need the inspired help of others to avoid deceiving ourselves. It has always been a mystery to me why it is that the intellectual elite shut themselves off from the Spirit of God sometimes. I am here to bear my testimony of this. We were with our Heavenly Father before we came to this life. The scriptures tell us so. We also know that we chose a body to come to live in this estate, to live his commandments, to have opposition in all things. The opposition which we must have is to make us strong. The fire with which we withstand is to harden the spiritual steel. It's also God's plan that we cannot return to his presence alone, without the help of someone else. James put it best, "Faith without works is dead, being alone." The gospel plan requires giving and receiving. Faith alone is not enough. We need works to serve and to be served. We can't do it alone. The many missions which we've embarked on in life cannot be embarked on successfully without the help of others. Birth requires earthly parents, our blessings as a child, our baptism, our receiving of the laying hands for the gift of the Holy Ghost, our receiving of the membership of the church, ordination to the priesthood, going on a mission, being married, having children of our own, blessings during illness and times of need, all require the help of others, and all these are acts of love and service which require the help of others and the giving of help to others, that we might return to our Heavenly Father. He does not want us to come back alone. He wants us to return with honor with our families and those with whom we've helped along the road of life. In preparing this message, it has become very clear to me that the true nature of the gospel plan is the interdependence we have upon one another in this life and the estate we live in. It is clear to me that we have imperfections of body, imperfection of mind, intellect, that we are not perfect. And for that reason, we are dependent on others. We must be self-sufficient ourselves, but that does not mean independent of help of others. We cannot gain a testimony without having the help of the Holy Ghost. We cannot do genealogy without having the help of those who came before us, our forebears. We are here to see if we will serve the least of these, our brethren. And since I have been a general authority, I have come to find out that the president of the church, his counselors, and the 12 apostles consider themselves the least of us, our brethren. This work is to attain life. A just God has placed us on the planet Earth, where we experience suffering and imperfection all around us. And this life and estate are necessary because in this life, we experience something that we cannot do any other place. The life we had before, the life we will have after, will leave our bodies, spirits, and minds in a more perfect state. We did not and will not have the opportunities to give of ourselves in the same way, except in this life. What a simple truth of a gospel principle. As we suffer and serve in this life, we are fulfilling a very essential part of the gospel plan. When I was a lieutenant in the Air Force, our squadron selected as its motto, "Return with Honor." We realized that this motto applied to all members of the flight. It did not just apply to us as individuals. We flew jet fighter planes in fingertip formation. For a moment, fold your thumb under your hand and look at the back of your hand, and you will see a flight of four airplanes. It has a leader and wingman. You are protected on the left and the right, and the leader is concentrating on his goals. If for a moment you will separate and put two fingers on either side, you will still see a leader and a wingman, one plane ahead of the other, and one on the wing to protect. We all knew and were taught from bitter experience that a loner out of formation was unprotected and would surely be destroyed. Why do then many of us go it alone and deny those who would love and give us joy in life and blessings and would come to us and share their love with us? The principle of helping is in one in need is well expressed in the touching love story of Thomas More, a famous 19th century Irish poet. Thomas More went on a business trip, and when he returned, his wife had locked herself in her upstairs bedroom and had asked to see no one. More learned the terrible truth that his beautiful wife had contracted smallpox. Her milky complexion was now pocked and scarred. She had looked at herself in a mirror and demanded the shutters be drawn, that she'd never see her husband again. Thomas More didn't listen. He went upstairs to the darkened room and started to light the lamp. His wife pleaded with him to let her alone and remain in darkness. She felt it best not to subject her husband to seeing his loved one with her beauty marred. She asked him to go. More did go. He went downstairs and spent the rest of the night in prayerful writing. He'd never written a song before, but he not only wrote the words, but composed the music. As daylight broke, Moore returned to his wife's darkened room. "Are you awake?" he asked. "Yes," she said. "But you must not see me. Please don't press me, Thomas." "I'll sing to you then," he said. Thomas Moore sang to his wife the song that still lives today. "Believe me, if all those endearing young charms, which I gaze on so fondly today, were to change by tomorrow and flee in my arms like fairy gifts fading away, thou wouldst still be adored as this moment thou art." Moore heard a movement in the corner of the darkened room where his wife lay in loneliness. He continued, "Let thy loneliness fade as it will, and around the dear ruin each wish of my heart would entwine itself verdantly still. The song ended, his voice faded, and as Moore heard his bride arise, she crossed the room to the window, reached up, slowly withdrew the shutters, opened the curtain, and let in the morning light. I'd like to, at this time, thank my wife for opening up the shutters and letting in her light and her life and sharing it with me. When one is marred spiritually, physically, our first reaction is to withdraw into the dark shadows of depression, to blot out hope and joy, the light of life which comes from knowing we are living the commandments of our Father in heaven. This withdrawal will ultimately lead us to rebellion against those who would like to be our friends, those who can help us most, even our family. But worst of all, we finally reject ourselves. Those who are alone and lonely should not retreat to the sanctuary of their private thoughts and chambers. It will ultimately lead them into a darkening influence of the adversary that leads to despondency, loneliness, frustration, to thinking of themselves as worthless. Then, after one thinks of himself as worthless, he oftentimes turns to associates who corrode those delicate spiritual contacts, rendering their spiritual receiving antennas and transmitters useless. What good is it to associate with and ask advice of someone who has disoriented himself and only tells us what we want to hear? Isn't it better to turn to a loving parent or friend who can help us reach and attain for celestial goals in life? Alma summarized the essence of a loving father talking to his sons, telling it like it is, when he said to Helaman and Shiblon, "Inasmuch as ye keep the commandments of God, ye shall prosper in this land. And inasmuch as ye will not keep the commandments of God, ye will be cast out from his presence." That is difficult for a father to say to his son, but it's the truth. When you attempt to live life's experiences alone, you are being true to yourself. You are not being true to yourself, nor to your basic mission in life. Individuals in difficulty often ask and say, "I'll do it alone. Leave me alone. I don't need you. I can take care of myself." It has been said that no one is so rich that he does not need another's help. No one so poor as not to be useful in some way to his fellow man. And the disposition to ask for assistance from others with confidence and to grant it with kindness should be part of our very nature. When I was a young boy in Long Island, there was a robin who built its nest every year on the roof of our home. We used to watch as she had her little ones. She fed them, nurtured them, and when it was time for them to fly, she gently and lovingly would nudge them out of the nest. They'd glide down to the ground, their wings fluttering, on a shore, afraid and not knowing how to fly. Then the mother would go down to the ground and help them learn how to get their food and teach them how to fly. She wanted them to be on their own. It brought me great sorrow each year when I would find a young bird that tried to do it alone. Often he would be found in the dead in the rock garden below, among the lilies of the valley. A hermit is one who suffers from the extreme of selfishness. He neutralizes all the gifts and talents which he's been given in this life to help others, for he is going the adversary's cunning way. Loneliness and withdrawal take us off the pawn of the board of life, and the game of life has ended. Whittier best described life and our dependence on each other when he wrote, "Thee lift me, and I'll lift thee, and we'll both ascend together." Yes, we started with our Heavenly Father. We came to this life. We take whatever the adversary gives us, and then ideally we return to our Heavenly Father with honor. I have a very simple testimony. I know that God lives. I know that Jesus is the Christ. I know that we came to this life with a purpose of knowing that the greatest joy we will receive will be those acts of love and service that we do for others. Through this love and service, we grow in strength and testimony and have blessings of our own. Heavenly Father will pour out upon ourselves and our families great blessings. I've also found in life there is none too great to need the help of others. There is none so great that he can do it alone. If only we could live our lives as our prophet Spencer W. Kimball does, in a guileless, loving way in which he shows concern for, gives to, and serves all those around him, we would truly understand that we need the help of others and that they need our help. That we might understand this basic principle of the gospel, of love for and allowing ourselves to be loved by our fellow men, is my prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.